It's Tuesday, the 19th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to JaVale McGee. Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Giles One. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast like Giles One, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be a sponsor of the podcast for a day. You can also be like Moneyball and be a sponsor of the podcast for the season. Moneyball is Australia's leading daily fantasy sports site, so if you live in Australia or New Zealand, make sure you're checking out Moneyball and getting involved and entering some contests and winning some money and doing all that fun fantasy stuff that us Australians have been left out of for the last couple of seasons, and getting into some DFS action. All right, hope all you guys in the States had a good Martin Luther King Day, enjoyed the day full of basketball. And it wasn't just full of basketball, it was full of ridiculous basketball. The Sunday games were terrible. We saw blowouts all over the place. Monday, there was a lot happening. Career nights from multiple players, just bonkers lines, and consequently, we've got stacks to talk about, and I can't get into the podcast without my good friend Michael Bolton kicking things off. So, Mike, over to you.
Let's get to it.
Thank you very much. The monstrous line of the night. I tweeted this out very early in the day and said it's going to take a big effort to knock Kemba Walker off the monstrous line of the night pedestal. Big efforts came. There was lots of big efforts, but they didn't quite knock Kemba off the monstrous line of the night. He played 47 minutes. It was a double overtime game, so he got a little bit of extra run. 52 points, a career high, another 50-point game in the NBA this year, 6 triples. He also added 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and some of his biggest value came from the fact that he went 14 of 15 from the free throw line, and he was 16 of 34 from the field. Kemba has been a fantastic option this year. I've got him on quite a few teams this year. I was quite bullish and bold with him in my rankings. Not many people had him inside the top 50. I did. I didn't think he'd be a top 20 player, which is what he is this year. He's currently ranked 15th in the NBA. He has taken his game up numerous levels. His shooting has increased a good 5% from the field. He's taken his free throws up almost 4%. He's almost at 20 points a game. He's hitting 2 threes, 1.7 steals, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, over half a block a game, and doesn't turn the ball over very much as well. He is putting in just a tremendous, tremendous season. And in the podcast I did the other day with Mika Honkasalo, on his podcast, we did our All-Star teams. I had Kemba on my team. And do you disagree? Do you think that Kemba should be an All-Star or not? I think that his play this season makes him an All-Star. He has been fantastic and continues to do so. So a great night from Kemba Walker. The waiver wire line of the night, I went with Marcus Thornton of the Houston Rockets. Thornton's had a couple of big games this year. He got red hot in this one. He played 22 minutes off the bench, scoring 23 points. He hit 5 triples, had 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal on efficient shooting as well. 9 of 15 from the field. Now, Thornton had a massive stretch to start the season, has sort of disappeared into mediocrity, obscurity lately. He's only averaging less than 20 minutes a game. This was big for him. The Rockets went quite small in this game against the Clippers, and that allowed Thornton to get some extra run. He might continue to get this little bit of extra run with Patrick Beverley still nursing that ankle problem, but let's have a real look at this, because yes, he was great today, and you would have loved if you had him on your team, but he played 22 minutes. How feasible is it that he's going to go for 23 points with 5 dimes and 5 triples in 22 minutes each night? I would say the feasibility level is almost at zero. It was a big night, but I don't see him playing. Like, at the start of the year, he was playing like 35, 36 minutes a night in those games. I don't see that being the case. I don't see him getting back to this sort of run. If he does, then absolutely he's a pickup. But he did all his damage in limited minutes here. He's going to be that 18 to 22 minute a game guy, maybe closer to the 22 mark with Beverley out. But otherwise, I don't think we need to rush out and grab Marcus Thornton in fantasy leagues. Just deeper leagues, yes, but for standard leagues, it's a watch and see sort of proposition, because I just don't think that's going to be something that's going to be all that reproducible. Not shockingly, 23 points in 22 minutes isn't something that happens all that often. The young gun of the night, I think you know who it is.
Porzingis.
Yep. Stephen A's got it. He knocked the nail right on the head. 34 minutes for Kristaps. 16 points, 12 rebounds, 2 threes, 4 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 7 of 11 shooting. His efficiency has been much improved lately. He's shooting 50% over his last 4 games and actually 49 over his last 8 games. He's at 18 points, 8 rebounds, 1.5 threes, 1.5 steals, 2 blocks. We're talking top 10 numbers from Kristaps at the moment. Top 10. He's probably not going to remain the top 10 player. I reckon that's fair to say, but he's inside the top 35 for the season. He could find himself... If he falls outside the top 50, I think it's going to be a shock. He's only shooting 43% on the season. You get that up to 46, 47, his numbers are going to be sky high. Very interested to see how he turns out, but there's a big chance that him and Karl Anthony Towns are going to be the highest ranked pair of rookies at the end of a season in, I don't know, 10 years maybe. I'll have to go back and check all my numbers. I did some research on it in the preseason, but I don't reckon in the last 10 years we've had two rookies finish inside the top 50 for standard fantasy leagues, and pretty sure that's going to be the case this year with Towns and Porzingis. Really, really superb. Could Porzingis be a top 10 player at some point in his career? Absolutely. By the time in 4 years' time, he could be a stalwart in the top 10. He can grow a lot, and he has been fantastic and a massive, massive... surprise isn't the right word. I'd say he surprised a lot of people. Not many people that I spoke to had much hope in him. I was massively on Porzingis, but I had no idea that Fisher was going to play him minutes. All the talk coming out of New York was, we're going to play him 23 minutes, which I thought was batshit crazy when we did the New York Knicks season preview podcast. I was not impressed with it, but hey, they've given him the minutes he deserves, and he's putting up sensational numbers. So all aboard the Kristaps train. The dart of the night, Kent Bazemore played 23 minutes and had 2 points, 3 rebounds and a block. And I think the biggest indicator of Kent Bazemore's season is the fact that I can call him a dud of the night when I only give duds of the night to people who are owned in all leagues. So the fact that he's come that far says a lot about his game. He's tailed off significantly though. He's outside the top 110 in the last 2 weeks. He's only playing 26 minutes in his last 7 games, 11 points, 3.6 rebounds, 1.7 threes is still nice, 1.1 steals. But what is happening to him, and it's something that I spoke about when he's having his red-hot start to the year, is his insane shooting is coming down. He's at 47% on the field from the field on the season, and he was a 43 guy last year. But over his last month, he's down to 44. His free throws have jumped from 60 up to 86. That will start to come down. He's at 50% over the last 4. He's not droppable by any stretch, but we're seeing some of these guys who played out of their brains to start the season, Kent Bazemore, Will Barton as well to a degree, slowly sort of starting to come back. Marcus Morris, one of them, I'm sure there's a couple others that I'm missing, coming back to what we know of Evan Fournier, another guy who, it's a bit sad for me to say that given how much I love Fournier, but coming back to similar numbers to, better than career numbers, but not red hot, ridiculous numbers that they were putting up to start the season. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup for Monday, for Martin Luther King Day. And if anybody, I'd love to know if anyone had this lineup, it is out of control. It totaled 469 points. It's almost unheard of. You have, in this lineup, you have 5 guys over 50 points. 5 guys. Kemba, 75.8. Chris Paul, 62.2. He was a great option, Chris Paul, going up against the Rockets. And I said he was going to be a great option if Patrick Beverley sat. Unfortunately, Beverley played, and then he got hurt. So you think, maybe Beverley's going to impact Chris Paul. Well, he didn't stay on the court long enough to really impact Chris Paul. So that helped him. JJ Redick got red hot. Rockets bump, massive, 43.2 for Redick. We'll talk about him soon. Marcus Thornton, 35.1. Gordon Hayward has been rock solid, mid-30s. He dropped a huge game here, 57.5. And Jeff Green was a guy, when I talked about Memphis yesterday, I said all the wing players are all worth looking tournaments. I don't know which one's going to stack up, but Jeff Green did. He put up 31.2. With the power forwards, Pau Gasol had 57.9, a big night for him. Aaron Gordon, I really liked his projection if he was going to play, and if he was fine with his ankle, well, he was fine, and he put up 32.9 points. But the second biggest performance of the night went to Dwight Howard, who put up 73.2. He is in close to Orlando form at the moment, red hot. I think it's about 7 or 8 straight double-doubles. He played big minutes. He's doing, we're going to talk about him in a minute. He was stiff to miss out on the monstrous line of the night here as well, but he is red hot. His DFS salary has been high, but obviously he obliterated it here. Just a really, really rich vein of form for Dwight Howard at the moment. As you can see, if you're watching the video, I'm wearing a new jersey that I got today. I'll hold it up, see if you can see it. It's my Steph Curry, the city jersey. There it is. Pretty happy with that one. I'm getting a collection of jerseys happening at the moment, so that's my Steph one. Pretty happy with that. Doesn't look great with pasty white arms, but hey, it's hot here. As you can see, my hair is melted from the hot weather. It's looking a little flat. Now, before we get into these box scores and do the box score breakdown, it is time for a quick word from our sponsors. All right, we're back. Sponsors are done. Let's have a look at these box scores in a little bit of extra detail and see what sort of information we can glean from that, because as I mentioned before, there was stacks going on MLK Day. The first game, the early game, the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks. The Sixers were really competitive in this game, and it's getting to the stage where we look at DFS for the Sixers that, you know, players resting against them is not really a reality at the moment, because they're playing hard and opposition teams are having to play their players majority of the time big minutes. So it's not like, oh, there's going to be a blowout and your players are going to play 27 minutes. Not like if you're playing against the Suns or you're playing the Lakers or you're playing the Nets. The Sixers are in a different ballpark. They're still going to lose most games, but they're actually a lot more competitive. This game went to double overtime. That's how competitive they were. Nerlens Noel, incredible. 18 and 13, 2 steals and 3 blocks. He is putting up, you know, after, again, a great guy to look at when we start next season and the guy you picked in the third round is terrible and you go, bloody, this guy's shit. Why did I pick him in the third round? Ruin my team. Like many people do with Nerlens Noel this year. Hey, what's he doing? He's putting up some pretty good numbers. And when all is said and done, I'm not going to be shocked if he finishes inside the top 40 or even higher. The defense numbers are coming back. And I've used this analogy plenty of times before. People give me shit about this analogy, you're saying it's a terrible one. It's probably pretty terrible, but it makes a lot of sense. You know, players who move onto new teams or are surrounded by new pieces who you change the role of what they did, it takes time to adjust. You move to a new job, you move to a different division in your current job. Do you know what you're doing straight away? No. And I use that, it's a pretty dumb analogy, but I did say it. Like, you work at a new place and you need to find staples to fill in your stapler. At your old job, they're in your right-hand side top drawer. At this new one, you got to go ask Pete, where are the staples? Pete, where's the sticky tape? I need a blue pen. It's all bullshit, trivial things. But you've got to fit into a basketball team. And he's got to fit in with a new guy who's in the post and Jahlil Okafor, changing the way he plays defense, his positioning, and all that sort of stuff. It's clicking. And second half is going to be big for Nerlens. Jahlil Okafor was good too. He only played 26 minutes, but down the stretch, the Sixers were clicking without him. He was still really productive, 20 and 7. The 2 steals and 2 blocks is something that we don't really associate with him, so a big night there. And Bob Cuff played 46 minutes. That is the best sign that we can get from him. He wasn't amazing, but 11 and 5, 3 triples, a steal, and 2 blocks. Has to be owned. He has to be owned everywhere. He's got top 50 potential. The minutes are back. His confidence is back. Brett Brown's confidence in him is back temporarily. Covington played 46 minutes. Jeremy Grant played 15. It's a big sign. Hollis Thompson played 41, which is another story. Jakar Sampson played 17. Bob Cove is back temporarily. Make sure he's owned. Isaiah Cannon moved back to the bench. He had a good night though. 16 and 5 with 3 triples. We can leave him alone in most formats. And Ish Smith, terrible field goal percentage. That's bad. That's Kobe-esque bad. That's, you know, good luck recovering from that in a weekly matchup. 8 of 28. He still had 16.7 rebounds, 16 assists, and 2 steals. He missed both of his free throws as well, so just a horrific night for him, you know, true shooting-wise as well. But you really love those 16 assists. You love the 16 points, the 7 rebounds, 2 steals. Big night there. TJ McConnell still added 7 assists, and he's been a really good source of assists even in limited minutes. So on a 12-team league, if you're just dying for assists and you're looking to stream someone in, he's not the worst option, even though he is playing as a backup. And say his last 6 games, the last 2 weeks, he's playing 13 minutes a game, 4.7 assists. That's really valuable. Now, there's not much happening in the other areas, but he still is a valuable guy. Rashawn Holmes had a big game over the weekend. Not so much here. 2 and 3 in his 13 minutes. On the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony played 49 minutes. He was Ish Smith-like bad from the field. 7 of 28, and then he went 3 of 7 from the free throw line. So just destroyed your percentages. 19-7-7 is not bad in the counting stat category, but not his greatest night. Aaron Aflalo, 25 points in 45 minutes, 2 threes, 7 assists, and a steal. Yeah, not a terrible night from Big Aaron. And Robin Lopez got back in business. 16-10 with 2 assists and 2 blocks. Jose Calderon played 35 minutes. He gave you 5 assists, 3 steals, and a block, and 2 threes. I do still like him for 12-team leagues, assuming that what he does fits on your team. And it could be a big assumption, but yeah, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 threes, it's not easy to find. And Calderon's getting pretty consistent minutes as the starter. Jerry and Grant played just 7 here, which I can't get behind. I can't get behind him playing 7 and Sasha Vujicic playing 6, but it strengthens Calderon's position. Langston Galloway went back to the bench, 8-3-3, and Lance Thomas had 12-4 in his 31 minutes. But both of those guys are deep league characters only. The Utah Jazz and the Charlotte Hornets, the first two games of the night, both double overtime games. Gordie Haywood, 36-5-9, 6 triples, 2 steals, and a block. I'm a huge Gordon Haywood fan. Love what he's been able to do this season. I think he's taken his game to another level. He's a real talent to me. He's not going to make the All-Star game this year, but if he did, I'd be pretty happy with it. Rudy Gobert, 14-14 with a steal and 2 blocks. That's 2 consecutive big games for Gobert. The free throws are still a concern, 2 of 5 here, but everything else he's doing is sort of more in line with what we hoped when we drafted him. Trey Lyles played 27 minutes with Derek Favors out. Not as good as the other night, but still 5-8-4, 2 blocks and a 3 is useful. Not looking at him in a standard league though. Trevor Booker, 12-8 with a steal and a block in his first game back from a concussion, and Trey Burke had 25 points in 37 minutes, including 3 triples, but he is very, very touch and go when it comes to standard leagues. Rod Hood, a lot of brutal field goal percentage nights actually, 4 of 17 for Rod, 11-6-4 with a couple of threes, but he still is a must-own guy, and unfortunately the Jeff Withey run is clearly done now. 10 minutes for Withey, 2 points with a block, but we know if Gobert goes down and Withey's going to start, there's going to be value for him because he can do quite a lot of stuff on the court. With the Hornets, Marvin Williams played 45 minutes, a decent night for him, 19-7 with 3 triples. And Cody Zeller played 42 minutes. It's good to see him getting big minutes, 14-6 with a block. He should still be owned. Nick Batum, 10-9-4, 2 threes and a steal. Not a great shooting night from Batum. And Frank Kaminsky again getting it done, 17-7, a 3, a block in 25 minutes. What do we do with Kaminsky? I'm not owning him yet in a 12-team league, but I'm definitely interested. I'm definitely looking at him and going, okay, well, maybe this is going to turn into something. Maybe we should be looking at it. His last 4 games has yielded top 75 value. 13-6.5, 2 triples, a steal, half a block, 53%, and shooting only 57% from the free throw line, which is something he should normally excel at. Al Jefferson's probably going to cut into his value more than it cuts into Zeller's when he returns, but I really like what Kaminsky is doing at the moment, and he is definitely a 14-team league guy at this point. Now, PJ Hairston, 6 rebounds and a block, and that's it. No points for him. He plays his 19 minutes, and that's about it. Still a really weird situation to me. Why only play him 19 if you believe in his defense so much, and that's why he starts? Anyway, Jeremy Lin, 37 minutes, 9-6-5 for Lin. The Portland Trailblazers and the Washington Wizards. CJ McCollum sort of got things going again. 25-2-2 with 6 triples, a pretty decent night. And Alan Crabb was good as well. 14-4-3, 2 steals and 2 threes. And I believe that Alan Crabb somehow has point guard eligibility on Yahoo, which I don't know who runs Yahoo's position eligibility, but they need to have a long, hard look at what they do with some of them, because that's ludicrous for Alan Crabb to be a point guard. But a decent night for him. I don't think he's a standard league guy. Myers Leonard looked good, 18-4 with 4 triples, but still the 24 minutes, him and Mason Plumlee got 24, and Al-Farouq Aminu played 25, and Ed Davis played 23. They're just going to spread these minutes out, making most of them quite difficult to own. Mason Plumlee was good, 10-11-7 with a steal and a block. I'm still owning him in 12-team leagues, and Al-Farouq Aminu stuffed it as well, 8-5 with, stuffed the stat sheet, not stuffed it up, 8-5 with 2 triples, a steal and a block for Aminu. Damian Lillard, that's 2 subpar games in a row after a really red-hot return from his injury. 16-2-6 with two triples. And the Noah Vonleh starting experiment continues. Maybe that's the thing to do. Every team must have a starter that plays 17 minutes. 2 points for Vonleh, 9 rebounds. He just gives me no confidence whatsoever in his ability to play. For the Wizards, Marcin Gortat, another big game, 16-13 with 2 blocks, and Brad Beal returned from his rest. He played 24 minutes, and that's sort of where he's going to be for the next bit of time. He's been productive, though, the last two games, 16-1-5 with 3 triples. You're loving what he's doing. You just wish he could get 34 minutes and hope for some big, big numbers. But unfortunately, I think a 35-minute game for Brad Beal is not going to happen in his career. Well, it shouldn't with the way that he's been going anyway. John Wall came back down to earth with another game with subpar field goal percentage from a player. 4 of 17 for 9 points. He did have 4 rebounds, 10 assists, and 3 steals, so helped out there. But a lot of guys, you might even be able to look, with so many guys having bad field goal percentage, you if you had one of them, you might be matched up with a person who had the other one. And then, yeah, you're okay. If you had Mallow and John Wall on a team, maybe you'd be in a bit of trouble trying to come back from that, though. Garrett Temple, 29 minutes for him, 18-3 with 3 triples. Just really interesting what he's able to do. I can't buy it, but if Beal's going to continue to get 24 minutes, Temple has to be considered in 12-10 leagues. Now, I think Otto Porter returning will push some minutes away from Temple, but he's doing okay. Nene played 17, he went 8-3, and Kelly Oubre got the start in place of Porter and played 12 minutes. So there you go, another starter who plays less than 20. 0 points with 2 rebounds for Oubre. Jared Dudley wasn't quite as effective as the last game. Still not bad. 10-1-4 with 2 triples. Did miss both of his free throws, though, so that's obviously a little bit annoying. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Memphis Grizzlies. Tyreek was out, so the New Orleans Pelicans started the worst player in the NBA, Norris Cole. 10-1-4 for Cole with 2 steals. Please, he's not a 12-team league guy to add. Anthony Davis, 21-8. 2 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. And I want to highlight something with Anthony Davis. He was good here, 6-12, 9-11 from the free throw line. That's really good performance. I got a tweet from someone today. I'm not going to say who it was. And he asked me the question, is Brook Lopez for Anthony Davis, should I do it? I can imagine many of you are listening to the podcast and going, of course you do it. But if you don't own Anthony Davis in your league, there is a level of doubt with him. And if someone is willing to accept Brook Lopez for Anthony Davis, now I can't remember which way the deal was going. Let me go back and have a look at this tweet. I don't want to say who sent it to me. Where's the tweet? Okay, it just says, would you rather Brook Lopez or AD? So it doesn't say which side is getting it. Whoever owns AD in your league, throw Brook Lopez at him. Throw Marc Gasol at them. Throw Pau Gasol at them. Throw someone at him. I hear it all the time, and I see it all the time. Forums, comments, Twitter, Facebook. I'm worried about getting AD because he's going to get shut down. You know who else could get shut down? Anybody. Anybody at all. Again, who gets shut down? Unless they're legitimately injured, no one just gets said, you're not playing anymore. It just doesn't happen. It's a risk. It is a risk with literally anybody that is currently on your team or anybody that you get. They can rest because they're not going to make the playoffs. They can rest because they are in the playoffs. They can rest because they're injured. They can rest because they don't want to get injured. Don't play the last 2 weeks of the regular season in your fantasy leagues. That's a straightforward one. You don't play them. B, get Anthony Davis. Buy him low. Buy him super low. Yeah, Brook Lopez has been good, but he's not Anthony Davis. Go with one of these guys. Throw Marcin Gortat at them. Throw Jonas Valanciunas at them. Everyone's worried. Oh, so I got offered Anthony Davis. I don't know if I should take it because he might get shut down. The answer is you take it. I could get millions of abusive tweets and emails when Anthony Davis goes down and gets injured, but you take the deal. To me, it's pretty straightforward. If you're in one of my leagues, please, can you just offer me Anthony Davis and take a fourth-round talent in return? I would love it. Please offer it. Jrue Holiday, 23-2-9 in 29 minutes for him. A big night for Jrue. Really efficient, 9 of 13 from the field. Eric Gordon, 10-2-3. He has cooled off significantly after his hot start. And Ryan Anderson only had 14 points in his 27 minutes. The New Orleans Pelicans, Turd Brigade, Dante Cunningham and Alonzo G and Omer Asik all played over 20 minutes and all did nothing. 7 points for Cunningham with 2 blocks. Omer Asik 8 and 6 and Alonzo G 2 and 6. They have fantasy value in only the very, very deepest of leagues. Onto the Grizzlies, Jeff Green in 27 minutes went 16 and 6 with 2 steals, a block and a 3. He's such a borderline 12 team league guy. If you own him, fine. If you need to drop him, fine. That's just how I feel about him. And good to see Mike Conley back. Now, with Conley back, Mario Chalmers' value was finished. 21 minutes for Chalmers, 3, 1, and 5, and Conley had 15, 1, and 10. So, obviously, your buy low window on Conley is done. Marc Gasol, 16, 10, and 6, 2 steals, 1 block. Good to see Dave Yeager before the game come out and say we really want to get Marc Gasol's minutes down. He played 39 and a half. Courtney Lee, 16 and 4 with 2 threes. And Matt Barnes had 16 and 2 threes in his 28 minutes. So basically all of this bench crap for Memphis or wing guys all put up decent nights. Tony Allen, not so much. 6 and 5 with 2 steals. And Zach Randolph went 8 and 8 with a couple of steals. All these guys are cannibalizing each other's value. If I had to rank who I want, it's Matt Barnes first. It is Zach Randolph next. Probably Jeff Green after that. And then Allen and Lee, depending really on what I want. Do I want steals or do I want some efficient empty scoring? The next game up, the Chicago Bulls and the Detroit Pistons. Let's look at what happened without Joakim Noah. Bobby Portis played 3 minutes. It's not happening for Bobby Portis. He's not. That shouldn't be owned in standard leagues. He was only a flyer, but he didn't do anything when Noah was out the first time. And what makes us think it's going to be different this time? Nikola Mirotic off the bench, only 21 minutes, 10 and 3 with a couple of threes. Still think he deserves a bigger role than that. Obviously, that's what I think because, you know, I'm a big Mirotic fan. He still remains a guy to hold. Taj Gibson should be owned, 8 and 10 in 36 with 2 blocks. And Pau Gasol went crazy, 31 and 12, hit a 3, had a steal, had 3 blocks, and was amazingly efficient as well. So a big night from Pau. Jimmy Butler, yeah, just so-so, 16, 3 and 9 with 2 steals. And Derrick Rose had 20 points with 4 assists. Another solid night from Rose, really efficient shooting as well. Aaron Brooks had 10 assists in his 21 minutes with Kirk Heinrich out. He had to play all of those backup point guard minutes. He's obviously a deep league guy. And Dougie McDermott had 11 points with 3 triples. I really want Doug to develop into a decent player. I think that he's a really good scorer, but the rest of his game is just so deficient. It's going to be really hard for him to find a consistent 30-minute role in the NBA, I think. Tony Snell, shockingly enough, did nothing. 3 and 3 with a 3 and a block. He's just not good. The Pistons, Ersan Ilyasova, 19 and 11. 3 threes, a steal, and a block. I think he has to be owned in 12-team leagues to me. Reggie Jackson, 19, 3 and 6 in 32 minutes, while Brandon Jennings went 2, 3 and 2 in 16 minutes. We can see how that is playing out. Andre Drummond, 13 and 16 with a steal and a block. Not a bad night from him. The 3 of 10 free throws is obviously annoying. And Marcus Morris, 18 and 6 in 38 minutes. And that's okay. But again, he's playing 38 minutes and he just puts up middle of the pack, end of your roster value. If he loses minutes, and I just wish that Stanley Johnson could get 6 of those minutes, play 30 for Marcus, play 28 for Stanley Johnson, Johnson would be a more productive player. Unfortunately, that's not the way that Stan Van Gundy is looking at things at the moment. The Orlando Magic and the Atlanta Hawks, this was a smashing. Aaron Gordon looked really good. 18, 7, and 3. A 3 and a block. I think he should be owned in most leagues. Toby Harris played 32 minutes. Only had 6 points on 2 of 7 shooting, but really nice numbers in the other areas. 4 assists, 4 steals, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. A decent night from Toby. And Nick Vucevic went 10 and 11 in his 27 minutes. Lord Alfred Payton started in place of Victor Oladipo, and he was all right. 16, 2, and 5. Actually hit a couple of threes and had a steal. Obviously still has to be a guy that's owned. We don't know what's going to happen with this team when Oladipo comes back, but Payton really struggled in terms of his plus-minus numbers in this game, and the starters were terrible in general, so he might find himself in a minimal bench role, but for now, we just hold and see how it plays out. Evan Fournier only played 24 minutes here as well. 6 points with a couple of threes, while Mario Hezonja got 24 minutes, and like so many players, destroyed your field goal percentage. 3 of 14 for Hezonja. It's unlikely he ever becomes, well, not sorry, not ever. It's unlikely he becomes a standard league player this season. Al Horford, 15 and 7, a steal and 2 blocks. Paul Millsap, 13, 12 and 6 with a steal and 2 blocks. So the big men getting it done again with Kent Bazemore struggling. Thabo Sefolosha played a big role again. 27 minutes for Thabo. 10, 4, and 3 with 3 steals. Are we seeing Thabo eat into Bazemore's numbers like we did about 3 or 4 weeks ago? It's definitely a big possibility. And Thabo brings some different value to the Hawks. So just watch. We're not adding him, but just watch what he's doing. The other guy who's carved out a role in this team is Tim Hardaway Jr. He still is not good. 8, 1, and 3 for him with 2 threes, but he's carved himself out a decent role. Dennis Schroeder, after that great game the other night, only 18 minutes, 6-2, 8 assists is still really good. I own him in a 12-team league, and I'm still holding, but yeah, if he consistently gets under 20 minutes, it's going to be real hard to keep doing that. Jeff Teague only played 24 here, 14, 4, and 2 with 3 threes. But again, it was a bit of a blowout. You know, Shelvin Mack played 6 minutes. Justin Holiday played 6 minutes. The game was a blowout. The Brooklyn Nets and the Toronto Raptors up next. Brook Lopez, 29 and 10, a steal and 2 blocks. That's a big night from Lopez. And I know I was talking about him in regards to an Anthony Davis trade before. I really like Brook Lopez. He's a fantastic player. He's a fantastic NBA player. He's a fantastic fantasy guy. He's just not AD. And Joe Johnson revival to a continued 22, 5, and 7 with 3 threes. The shot is falling. The way the team is playing is suiting him better without Jarrett Jack on the court. Has to be owned. You have to own Joe Johnson in 12-team leagues, as unpalatable as it might seem. You also have to own Donald Sloan, who played 34 minutes here and went 13, 8, and 6, while Shane Larkin only played 21 minutes and went 8 points with 3 assists and 2 steals. Larkin probably doesn't need to be owned in 12-team leagues. Sloan does. Thad Young, 11 and 9, yeah, whatever. And Wayne Ellington in the start, just 4 points. He's bad. Bojan Bogdanovic, 9 points in 23 minutes. He's not much better. The Raptors, big games from their 2 best players. Kyle Lowry, 31, 2 and 8. 3 steals, 7 triples on a ridiculous 10 of 13 shooting. And DeMar DeRozan went 30 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals in his 34 minutes. We say it ad nauseum, the Brooklyn Nets backcourt it's horrible, but it is like the gift that keeps on giving for fantasy teams playing against them. And Lowry and DeRozan took up that offer. Terrence Ross had 12 points in 24 minutes. He's not a standard league guy. But Patrick Patterson is definitely coming into that conversation. 33 minutes again for him. His minutes have been way above what Luis Scola's been doing over the last couple of weeks. He's been hitting threes. He's probably more of a three-point specialist at this point, along the lines of, say, Mirza Teletovic. But that can be owned in a 12-team league. Valanciunas, a bad night for him. 3 of 11 shooting. 6 points, 12 rebounds, a steal and a block. So still did some nice things. James Johnson is starting, but he's falling into... He's the team's Noah Vonleh. He's their PJ Hairston. He's starting and playing 19 minutes, and Luis Scola played 15 here. Not a good night from Corey Joseph. Did still have 6 assists, but 2 points and 2 rebounds is not a good outing, but he did get 27 minutes. So I'd expect him to get similar minutes to that moving forward, which is borderline 12 team. The Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mentioned it yesterday that the Cavs were favorite, which threw me off. They were a minus 2.5. And then I had someone tweet at me that the Cavs had actually expanded out to a minus 3.5 total, which I thought was completely insane. But thought Vegas must have known something was up. Something was up, all right. The Warriors kicked the Cavs' ass, like, sideways. They shut this game down very early. They won by 34 points. They had enough of the loss last game, of... You know, the Cavs thinking they could shut them down. If Kyrie Irving talking about how good the team is, Steph Curry just went, you know what, this is not happening. In 28 minutes, he scored 35 points with 7 triples, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. He just went, sorry, this is not going on. We're not even going to compete. You're not competing. Andre Iguodala had a great night as well. 23 and 5, 4 triples in 24 minutes. Draymond had his best game in the last couple, 16, 7, and 10. Klay Thompson had 15 points in 26 minutes. The minutes were spread because it was a blowout really quickly. So we saw, you know, spuds like Jason Thompson getting into the game. But if you own Steph Curry, you're pretty excited with that sort of number. For the Cavs, there is just not a lot to like at all. LeBron played 33 minutes, 16, 5, and 5 with a steal and a block. J.R. Smith lasted 21 minutes before his ejection. He had 14 and 2. Not a good night from him. Also, I'll tell you who didn't have a good night, Kevin Love. And by not a good night, I mean a terrible night. He played only 21 minutes, 3 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists, a block and a 3. And I mentioned on yesterday's show that the Warriors do allow power forwards to put up decent numbers, but Kevin Love was exposed against them last year. It continued again here. Timofey Mozgov did the PJ Hairston, 15 minutes as a starter, 6 points, 3 rebounds, while Tristan Thompson played only 12 off the bench. The Cavs went small. They played some other guys' minutes. Anderson Varejao played the most minutes of the Cavs' centers. And he's been a DMP CD in plenty of games. Kyrie Irving only the 23 minutes. It was just ugly, 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 ugly basketball for the Cavs anyway. The Warriors were pretty happy with their performance. The Boston Celtics and the Dallas Mavericks. Kelly Olynyk. Can somebody just unleash Kelly Olynyk? 26 minutes, 17 and 5, 5 triples, 1 steal, 2 blocks. You love what he can do. I absolutely love what this guy can do from a fantasy point of view. It's so hard to own him, though. It's so hard to own these guys. But him on a 12-team league roster, it makes sense. Jared Sullinger at 28 minutes, going 12 and 11 with 2 steals and a block, that also makes sense. Amir Johnson only played 14 in this one, which, again, it's Brad Stevens' prerogative to do that. They lost. Fine. I'm always glad when coaches tinker too much and they lose. It makes me happy in that sense. It was overtime, though. But that even makes it more indefensible that Amir Johnson played just 14 minutes. 30 minutes to Olynyk, 30 minutes to Sullinger, 30 minutes to Johnson, 6 minutes to Jarepko, done. Front court rotation sorted. You know, bit of to-ing and fro-ing here and there. But these are your best players. Let them play. Let them play in a rhythm and let it go. You know, it frustrates me. Amir Johnson, I'm still holding. Olynyk in 12-team leagues, yep, fine. And same with Sullinger. But don't be surprised if you have to move on from them and cycle them on and off. Marcus Smart played 39 minutes, a big game from him, 28 and 3, 2 threes and 2 steals. He is starting to unlock his fantasy potential, and he is going to be a top 100 player within the next 2 seasons. There is no doubt in my mind, and it might even happen by the end of this year. You do need to watch your percentages with him especially, but his rebounding, steals, and 3 numbers that he's going to give you are going to be really nice. Avery Bradley, 19, 8 and 5 with 4 triples. Good to see him back in business. And Isaiah Thomas went 24 and 7 in 38 minutes. Now, Jay Crowder, not his best night. 3 of 13 shooting, but 12 and 7. Did have a steal as well. And I wonder if some of these bad shooting nights were caused by the games being early and maybe some of the players getting on the piss the night before and not having their usual afternoon nap and throwing them out of their rotation or out of their schedule, more to the point. I reckon that, especially with those really early games, we saw some horrific shooting. Wouldn't be shocked if that's the case. Dirk Nowitzki, 35 minutes for the Mavericks, 31 and 11 with 2 steals and 3 threes. A big Dirk night. Big Chandler Parsons night as well, 16, 5 and 3 with 4 triples. And Darren Williams went 25 and 6 with 2 threes and a block. So big nights from all those guys. Zaza only had 5 points, but when you get 19 rebounds at Zaza Pachulia, a couple of assists, I reckon you're pretty happy with that. Ray Felton chipped in with 14, 3 and 4 off the bench, but he is reserved for streaming when the starters sit or get injured and for deeper leagues. That's about where he sits. The last game of the night, the Houston Rockets and the Los Angeles Clippers. Huge game, another overtime game, big win for the Clippers. Dwight went 36 and 26, 4 assists, had a steal and a block. He went 11 of 16 from the field. But the most shocking thing, he went 14 of 18 from the free throw line. Dwight Howard is absolutely on fire. When we look at the past 2 weeks' rankings on Friday's show, where I do my rankings for head-to-head based leagues, you'll see how well he's been playing. But even in the Basketball Monster rankings, which count all the categories evenly, in the last 2 weeks, Dwight is the 12th ranked player, and that is shooting 65% on 9 attempts. So making you punt free throws. And taking that into consideration, he is the 12th ranked player. He's averaging 19.5 and 15.5, 1.3 steals, 1.7 blocks, 60% from the field. He is putting in tremendous numbers. He's almost inside the top 50 for the season. I've got him in a couple of leagues, and I couldn't be happier with him at the moment after a rough start to the season. Big night from Trevor Ariza, 18, 2, and 4 with a couple of threes. And James Harden had 20 points with 8 assists in his 40 minutes. Clint Capella, the minutes are really down at the moment. He can be dropped in most leagues. 7 and 3 in 18 minutes with a block. And Terrence Jones, not much better. 10 and 8 in his 20 minutes. He did have 2 blocks, but he's more of a stash, and let's hope something happens with a trade for him. Ty Lawson played 22 minutes and scored 1 point. That's not all that good. 5 assists and 3 steals for Ty. On to the Clippers. Chris Paul was real close to the monstrous line of the night as well. 28, 6 and 12, 5 threes, 6 steals, 1 block, super efficient as well. So a big Chris Paul night. Remember when people were hanging shit on Chris Paul? Oh, picked him in the first round. God, shit, he's useless. A bum. Yeah, if he's a bum, then I don't know what you are. Anonymous person who calls him a bum. He's still really good. He's still a tremendous, tremendous fantasy player. You didn't pick him in the top three. You probably got him at the back end of the first round. And I'm going to have a look at what his ranking is at the moment. He's ranked 8th. It's not all that bumish, is it? JJ Redick, insanely hot. 40 points. He hit 9 threes out of 12 attempts. He added sweet FA after that, 1 rebound and 2 assists. But when you hit all 9 of your free throws, you're super efficient from the field. If your league counts 3-point percentages, bang, he's just one in that category for the week. Huge night from JJ Redick. He has been amazing since Blake Griffin's been out. We've seen that last season as well. He takes things up numerous notches. He is a top 20 player the last 2 weeks. He is ranked 22nd over the last month. I got JJ Redick off the waiver wire in about week 3 this year. When he got injured and hurt his ankle, I got him off the waiver wire. Pretty happy I did. He has been incredible. Really, really. He's one of the best shooters in the league. I have to look up his numbers, but I think he's like a top 3 true shooting percentage guy this year. DeAndre Jordan returned and just straight back to business. 16 and 15 with a couple of blocks for him. And that pushed Cole Aldridge back to a bench role. And he was still useful, Aldridge. 12 minutes, 8 and 4 with a steal and a block. He's a name you have to keep an eye on. Jamal Crawford, 17 and 5 in 36 minutes. Big production from him. And let's check what happened at small forward. Well, Luke Marmute played 21 minutes for 5 points. Austin Rivers had 3 points in 17 minutes. Wes Johnson had 11, 6, and 4 in 21. And Paul Pierce had 12 and 5 in 26 minutes. There is nothing actionable there for standard leagues. All right, we are done with the box score breakdown for a huge Martin Luther King Day. I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to be back to look at Tuesday's action from a daily fantasy point of view. There's only 4 games on Tuesday, so let's get stuck into them and see if we can get any DFS value out of these games. I'm pretty sure that the optimal lineup for Tuesday is not going to be 469 like it was on Monday. I think we're going to be seeing a much lower cash line. Because there's only 4 games on. There is still a little bit of value though in some of the games, but we're definitely not going to see that same sort of number that we saw before. The first game is the Milwaukee Bucks traveling to the Miami Heat. The Heat are favored by 5.5, and the total is 192.5. Also, before I continue that, don't forget at the end of the DFS segment, we're going to be doing the Dynasty Corner portion of the show, where we go through and talk some Dynasty League questions, so stick around for that. Okay, Bucks and Heat. No Beno Udrih, no Goran Dragic. Tyler Johnson's at 4,500. He's got a 25-point average across the last 3. I think he's a great cash game play. I think he's a solid tournament play as well. And especially if Gerald Green is out. Now, Green's probable with knee tendonitis. He's at 3,700. He's a fine tournament play. But if he's out, which it doesn't look like it, then Johnson's a guy that I like. I do like Dwayne Wade as well at 7,100. He's probable with his shoulder, but it looks like he's going to play. You can almost bank on 32 or 33 from Wade, especially against the Bucks. And Hassan Whiteside at 7,800 has been on fire. The Bucks are terrible down low. He should be able to have a field day. He is looking at 40 to 45 point as an upside here. And I think that this is a really good spot for him. Luol Deng at 4,300 has been terrible. So I think we leave him alone despite the positive matchup. Michael Carter-Williams at 68, no, not against the Heat, and not with the way that he's been playing lately. Don't mind Chris Bosh at 7,800. That's a pretty high salary, but there aren't many great high-priced options on the board for Tuesday. So Bosh is a guy that you might be able to lock in at 32, 33 points, and just fill it out if you've got some of these other cheap guys like Tyler Johnson on your roster. John Henson remains just a tournament play at 3,900. It's a nice salary. And Jared Bayless at 42 is not a bad guy to throw into a tournament. The other guys for the Bucks, like Jabari Parker at 5,200, I don't mind that. The Heat do take some of his value away. Same goes with Greg Monroe, and his salary is just a bit high heading against the Heat. 7,800 doesn't feel like a great investment. Chris Middleton is now over 7,000. He's been really rock solid, or better than rock solid. He's been fantastic. He's averaging almost 36 across his last three. A little bit hesitant with using him, but with a short slate, you can sort of get away with guys maybe being 4.5x and returning you value there. Giannis Antetokounmpo is at 7,800. That's a massive spike in his salary. I've got him, as we go later, and you'll see he's one of the top shooting guard players at the high price range because there's not many other options. But he's been really good. He's averaging over 40 his last five games. The Heat, you might be able to shut him down, but I'm pretty confident with using Giannis. I think that he's going to be a pretty decent guy to have a look at in this matchup. The next game we take a look at is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Pelicans are favored by 5. The total is 203.5 points. Tyreek Evans is the main one. He is considered questionable for this game. I wouldn't want to play him even if he does play because he could be on a minutes limit, but he might be restricted in what he needs to do. Jrue Holiday at 6,300, even more exciting if Tyreek is out. He's averaging 34 in his last five games, been putting up some big numbers, a big game from him again today, and the matchup is favorable. Couple of cheap guys on the Pelicans that I don't mind. Shabazz Muhammad at 3,800. You look at where the minutes are heading. He's averaging 27 across his last five. Hasn't been producing big numbers, but he's only at 3,800. If he gets 20 points, it's over 5x. And it's not that hard for him to do. All he can do is have a big game, and the Pelicans, not immune to giving up big games. Same sort of rationale with Zach LaVine. He's at 4,100. He's been trending in the right direction. And again, at 4,100, if he pops in 20 points, you're at 5x. He put in 27 in the last game in only 24 minutes. Sam Mitchell doesn't seem like he's going to unleash him more than that, but he remains a pretty decent tournament option. Anthony Davis at 10,300. The matchup doesn't really suit him, but I still think that he's a lock for over 40 points here. He could be a 45, 50-point guy, so I reckon he's a pretty decent guy to look at. I don't mind Karl Anthony Towns either. He's got the benefit of going up against a weak Pelicans front court. He's at 7,200. He's been a little bit down lately, only averaging 27 over his last five. I imagine his ownership will be a little bit lower, but I think that this is a spot where he could go out and put up 35 here quite comfortably. And Andy Wiggins at 6,700. Usually not a big fan of using Wiggins, but at 6,700 against the Pelicans in this sort of day with the matchups the way they are, I don't mind it. I think that 30 points from him is okay. He's been a 31.5 point guy over his last five, and at 6,700, that's almost where you need to be. Rick Rubio at 6,900. The salary is coming down. Not quite coming down far enough just yet. Ryan Anderson at 5,800. He's probably a little bit inconsistent for me to consider for cash games, and it's not a good matchup for him. And hey, Norris Cole is 4,100, but that's probably about $2,000 too expensive for Norris Cole, even though the matchup's solid. He'll have one good game out of every 20. Maybe it's this one. I don't think it is. The Indiana Pacers and the Phoenix Suns. We don't know if George Hill is back. He's still dealing with a personal matter, so he might not play. That would then push Monte Ellis across to point guard. It would give some spuds like Glenn Robinson some more minutes. It would mean Joseph Young, as a real punt play in a tournament, is worth a look. He was great in his last game. Not really sure that we're going to expect too much of that from Joseph Young. He put up 25.7 in the last game, and the matchup does really suit him. But we're going to need to see George Hill out and a bit of luck go your way to use him in a tournament. Yan Mahinmi is questionable. Last game without Mahinmi playing, Miles Turner went off. And we see Miles Turner is priced fairly reasonably at 4,000. So definite great tournament play if Mahinmi is out. If not, probably wouldn't want to go that route, I wouldn't have thought. For the Suns, Alex Len is back from his hand issue. Don't imagine he's going to be playing enough minutes for me to care too much. Brandon Knight at 65, which is unfortunate because I like Lynn. 6,500 for Brandon Knight. It feels really good. He just has been underperforming. The matchup is good for him, especially if George Hill is out. Does he put up 35 points? He's easily got 35 points in him. But with the way he's playing, he's more of a cash game guy. Hill at 5,800, if he happens to play, I think he's a great option against this Phoenix backcourt. Paul George at 8,700 feels like a really nice high price play. You can easily see him going for 40 against the Suns. And Markieff Morris at 4,900. Really good lately. 29.5 average across his last three. His value is temperamental. It could be anywhere, but in a tournament, I'd be happy to use him and see how it goes. Don't want to use Tyson Chandler, except in a tournament. This matchup does not suit him, nor does the way that Jeff Hornacek coaches. And Monte Ellis at 6,300. If there's no George Hill, I really like him. He put up 34 in the last game. We know what backcourt guys do against the Suns. He could be a very, very interesting play. PJ Tucker at 4,500. We'll reserve him for tournaments. TJ Warren, I don't even think I want to use him in a tournament, to be honest. And Devin Booker at 4,000. He just hasn't been getting anything happening at the moment. And all those guys for standard leagues, if you want to move on from them, they're just not getting anything happening at the moment. So that's fine. Mirza Teletovic, John Lua, probably a little bit hard to use them, especially when the matchup is not all that favorable either. The last game of the night, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets. There's a little bit of blowout potential here, but I'm not discounting the Thunder guys too much. Yusuf Nurkic is doubtful with a knee and ankle issue, and Jameer Nelson is questionable with his wrist problem. Serge Ibaka is at 6,200. He's been giving you over 31 points his last three. I think that he's a nice matchup against the Denver team, who is decent for power forwards to play against. Enes Kanter at 4,300. Throw him into a tournament. The ease for him is significantly easy, but he's going to be up and down. Not a cash game play. 7,000 for Danilo Gallinari. Don't love the matchup. I would probably steer clear there. One guy in Denver I do like is Nikola Jokic. He's at 4,900. He put up 32 in the last game. He's a 26-point average across his last three. It's not a positive matchup, but at his salary, he can still exceed value. I'm pretty confident. And what about Will Barton? His price is still 6,700. That feels a little high. Not all that confident with going and using him. His best score in his last five was the last game, and that just was right on 5x value. So not smashing things away. If there's no Jameer Nelson, Emmanuel Mudiay at 4,900 is relatively appealing, but he wasn't great in the last game. But at 4,900, he put up 25 points. That's where it needs to be. And going up against the Thunder, the point guards can put up numbers. Gary Harris at 4,400 has a little bit of intrigue to me. He's been solid. I'm a pretty big Gary Harris fan. The big game, the big names. Russell Westbrook, 10,500. Yeah, don't mind it. Don't mind spending that money. You could get 50 back from him. Same as you could get 50 from Kevin Durant at 9,900. Durant, you're probably more looking at 40 at a 45-point outing. He's going up against Danilo Gallinari, not the most noted defender. And KD's been a pretty consistent guy. His last five games, his highest score has been 46. His lowest score has been 39.7. And when you're spending 10,000, 39.7 is not great, but it's a pretty nice floor for a cash game that even if he has his worst game, you haven't lost out and you haven't gone, oh, I'm finished, I can't recover. You've still got 40 points off him. So his value in that sort of area is very, very appealing. All right, that is all the games, only the four on Tuesday. I'm going to go through the picks for the day, and then I'm going to do the Dynasty Corner section of the show. There we go. At point guard, Tyler Johnson, 4,500. Drew Holiday, 6,300. And Russell Westbrook, 10,500. Shooting guards, Zach LaVine, 41. Dwayne Wade, 7,100. And Giannis Antetokounmpo at 78. The small forwards, Shabazz Muhammad at 38. Tournament sort of option. Andy Wiggins at 67. And Paul George at 8,700. Power forwards, Markieff Morris, 49. Serge Ibaka, 62. And Chris Bosh, 7,800. At center, Nikola Jokic, 49. Karl Anthony Towns, 7,200, and Hassan Whiteside at 78 rounds things out. All right, that is the DFS portion of the show done. Let's talk a little bit of Dynasty for, say, the next 5 minutes or so. Had a couple of questions come in. The first one is from Peter Huang on Twitter at RaRaPeter. Good name. Would you rather have Myers Leonard or Gary Harris? Straightforward question. If we're talking Dynasty, which we are, I think Harris. Now, Leonard's been in the system 4 years. He had a flash last year and was really good and was superb in the playoffs. This is his contract year. He hasn't grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. He hasn't showed that he can be a consistent guy. I think he has to play center, really, to be effective given some of his slowness on defense. Not sure it ever really clicks for him. Harris, on the other hand, I think he can be a really good defender, perimeter defender, knockdown scorer, and can develop into not an all-star, but a really good starter on a playoff team. I think that Harris is the guy. Now, there's positional differences, obviously, between the two, but I think that, obviously, Leonard at the moment is probably marginally ahead of Harris, but I think in 2 years' time, Harris takes the step up. Next question comes from Jobin, who's at TTThomas313. How far off is Kemba from Damian Lillard or Kyrie Irving in a dynasty? I'd say, he's good. He's been really good this year, but I think that Lillard and Kyrie can still get better. Kemba can probably still get a little bit better as well, but I think he's still a tier or two below those two sort of guys. The next question is Eric Bledsoe or Isaiah Thomas close? Yeah, look, that's I would have Kemba over Isaiah Thomas. I would probably have Bledsoe over Kemba, but if I'm the pessimistic type, I'm worried about Bledsoe's knee, but he is right in that range. To me, he's neck and neck with Eric Bledsoe in that sort of area, but a step below Lillard and Kyrie. His next question is Moutier's dynasty outlook. I think it's really good. I think Moutier can be a really good player, but his percentages are going to be a real issue. The turnovers he will cut down. I'm not worried there. His field goal percentage will come up, but I think he's going to be in the Michael Carter Williams, Rajon Rondo, I can't shoot field goals or threes or free throws category. He'll be a guy with good court vision who can play aggressive defense, be a good rebounder, be a decent scorer by getting to the rack, and he'll put up numbers in that sense. He's almost like a Tony Roten who knows how to play basketball. So if you can absorb some of his hits in percentages and the turnovers, I think he is going to get a lot better. Clearly, he's not that guy yet. He's not good yet, and he's more harmful than helpful. But I think that he's going to be able to be that guy who can go 22s, 5 and 7 and do that relatively consistently and throw in two steals and maybe hit a three where you go, wow, look at these numbers. Yeah, he took 25 shots to do it, but I think that he's going to be a useful player in Dynasty. I do think that he's got a pretty high upside, like a lot of the guys in this rookie class. They all fairly high upside guys. We are done now, guys. Make sure you are subscribing to this podcast on iTunes or on YouTube and following me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeball. And if you've got Instagram, follow me on Instagram at @RedRock_Beeball. What I'm doing on Instagram now, I did have the Instagram for a while and I got a bit slack, didn't really know how to sort of engage with people on Instagram. But what I'm doing now is each day you'll see me post up my Red Rock basketball cards. That's sort of how I'm calling it, with the Monstrous Lion of the Night guy on it in a basketball card format. I've got a couple of them up there now, John Wall and Kevin Durant for the last 2 days. You'll see the Kemba Walker one go up. It's probably up by the time you're listening to this. So go, if you're on Instagram, the account is @RedRock_Beeball. Please go and give me a follow over there and see. I'm really intrigued by basketball cards. I love what that guy did with the Kawhi Leonard retro Skybox cards and Fleer cards. Superb. I did a design from scratch. Let me know what you think. It's all stuff that I just designed from scratch for some basketball cards with Monstrous Line of the Night on them. And it's over on the Instagram account. So go and check that out. Follow it and let me know what you think. Of course, basketballmonster.com, hardwoodparoxysm.com. Check out those websites. There's always a ton of stuff happening over there. Different sites, obviously. Basketball articles on Hardwood Paroxysm and fantasy basketball tools on basketballmonster.com. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.